Hag Sameach, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my inspiring soulmate, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, honey, and shalom to those joining us tonight. And we pray you will be blessed. As we're going to revisit the Feast of Pentecost, which is celebrated on Sunday, June 8th this year, 2025. Let's open in adoration of our Lord, who indwelled us with his Holy Spirit.
We adore you, O Lord, God Almighty, and we know your Trinity resides within us. Let us be forever mindful of this miraculous indwelling as a gift of our salvation that protects us from evil, expands our witness while supplying all our needs. May tonight's message be a blessing to you as you hear your servant's prayers, especially for the salvation of our loved ones. May their veil of darkness be lifted. We pray in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. You know, your prayer reminds me of the scripture that does say that the Father as well resides within us. In fact, let's open with that. And that was, of course, written by Paul to the bride of Christ in Ephesians 4:4.
There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all.
And we will talk about Pentecost tonight and the wonderful abiding of the Holy Spirit, that comforter that teaches us all things. You know, Jesus was speaking to believers and his future church, so only John records this in chapter 14, verse 26.
But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things.
I must emphasize the words all things.
And bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you.
So besides Yeshua, the Father lives in us too, and the Holy Spirit will teach us all things. Which, by the way, when he said no one knows the day or the hour, that was in Matthew. So there, he was giving more attention to the Jews, focusing more on his coming kingship. As well, Jesus said that prior to Acts chapter 2, and unless they accept Jesus, will not have the Holy Spirit's indwelling.
So the book of Mark, and also Mark, spoke more to the Jews first.
Yeah, and where Luke focused more on the Romans. So Luke presents Jesus as the suffering servant, focusing on his humanity.
Which was fitting, for he was a doctor.
Where John's gospel focused on the salvation of the bride, who would not go through the tribulation and would have the Holy Spirit to teach us all things. Therefore, John is the only gospel who never talks about God's future wrath.
Why would he? As John was a picture of the church.
Exactly. But the other three do, in detail. And as we said, nor do they speak on the coming of the Holy Spirit to teach them all things, especially when one chooses to search for it.
Amen to that.
And what's really great is the deeper you go, more is revealed to you. For the Holy Spirit never runs out of things to teach us. For we are his beloved, as was John, as stated numerous times also in the book of Acts. And only one prophet in the Old Testament was called God's beloved.
Yeah, my namesake, Daniel.
And like Daniel in the lion's den, God holds us too in the palm of his hand. So John, in his unique gospel, presents Jesus as the Son of God, emphasizing his deity. So the early church would use particular gospel writings associated to whom they were witnessing to at the time. Example, and by the way, still holds true today. If you were witnessing to a Jewish person, you might want to start with Matthew and then John. You know, when I was first saved, I wondered why God had four gospels that had the same purpose in the end. But now I appreciate and absolutely love their uniqueness.
Amen to that. Okay, so what's the latest news?
Well, an apparent Gaza ceasefire was rejected by Israel, and for good reason. There is talk that Netanyahu and Trump are still developing plans to relocate up to 1 million Palestinians from Gaza to Libya.
What's in it for Libya?
Well, the release of billions of dollars in funds frozen by the United States more than a decade ago. And on June 17th is an important meeting because a UN-sponsored conference will begin, co-hosted by Saudi Arabia and France, to address Palestinian state recognition. France, Britain, and Canada want to sanction Israel, and they're really pushing for Palestinian statehood. And by the way, hoping to gain more support from Belgium, Portugal, Luxembourg, and possibly other European nations. However, Israel plans on taking total control of about 75% of Gaza and allowing a small autonomous Gaza to exist for the Palestinians who refuse to leave. But Hamas will be completely gone, which any ceasefire must entail.
Now we'll just wait and see.
Yep. While the IDF's Gideon's chariots continue to make substantial progress in Gaza, even though Hamas was surprisingly able to shoot another missile into Israel over the weekend.
As are the Houthis, too.
Yes, and many. Also, you might have heard about the many fires in northern and southern Israel's forests started by arsonists as part of the war.
Thousands of acres of trees and landscapes have been destroyed.
Yeah.
And you have a quick note about AI?
Oh, I do. AI is advancing quickly and now has its own Bible AI with a website that uses artificial intelligence to answer questions about the Bible and provide pastoral guidance.
Obviously, this is ripe for demonic takeover.
You think?
Yeah.
People are being set up now. So to not think it unusual when the Antichrist makes an image of himself that can talk, which we know will be Satan.
As well, the days of Noah are certainly here.
Yes, they are, because of the hybrids. When the fallen angels mixed their seed with human women, the outcome were hybrid giants. Today, evil scientists are not only mixing different animals together through CRISPR's ability to splice DNA, but an open yet kept secret is that evil scientists are also mixing human stem cells with animals' DNA. So yes, these are the days of Noah for sure.
And you can send your end time questions to Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. We can always use your help for research expenses, equipment, and just to stay on the air. So any love offering is greatly appreciated. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net. where you will find our newsletters and past radio programs all labeled for your easy access.
All right, then. Okay, so we have a special Sunday coming soon.
Yes, this year it's June 8th.
The Feast of Pentecost, or Shavuot in Hebrew.
The fourth fulfilled appointment out of seven.
Yes, he literally, in much detail, fulfilled Passover, Unleavened Bread, Feast of First Fruits, and then, 50 days later, he sent the Holy Spirit.
On the anniversary of the first Pentecost.
Exactly. The giving of their law at Mount Sinai, Exodus 19. Many Christians don't even realize that many centuries earlier, there was a first historic day of Pentecost as well. The first Pentecost came 50 days after the miracle of the parting of the Red Sea, Nisan 17, which later would also literally be fulfilled by Jesus at his resurrection.
Yeah, Penta is Greek and means five, as in 50 days.
Which contains 7 weeks, which is why in Exodus 34:22, it is also called the Feast of Weeks, because it's seven Sabbaths from the Feast of First Fruits of the barley harvest on the next day.
So always on a Saturday. I mean a Sunday.
Yes. And that's according to Scripture, which we're going to read in a minute. But the first day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 records the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and officially considered the birth of the church as a whole.
But you can also say the bride of Christ was betrothed.
Yes. Just like the Hebrews were at Mount Sinai on the first Pentecost, which, as we said, came 50 days after Nisan 17 of the Red Sea crossing. So, not only are his appointments historical, Jesus himself, literally to the exact dates, fulfills the spring feast and then the Feast of Weeks by sending the Holy Spirit to every believer in Jerusalem.
Where the foreigners were amazed to hear about God in their own native tongue.
And about 3,000 were saved. So, back to Exodus, when the Hebrews escaped, God set them free from Egypt's slavery into a new life. Just as Yeshua's resurrection frees us from being a slave unto sin,
giving us new life as born-again believers.
And as sure as we are proclaiming these fulfilled miracles to you tonight, we can therefore also assuredly proclaim that Jesus will keep his last three appointments as well.
Scheduled in the fall season.
Ah, maybe this fall.
Mm-hmm.
He promised he would raise us up after 2 days, which is the beginning of the third day from when he left.
Hosea 6:2.
So let's read that passage specifically about Pentecost and the fact that it must always fall on a Sunday, which today the Jews do not adhere to. Leviticus 23, verses 15 and 16.
And you shall count for yourselves from the day after the Sabbath, from the day that you brought the sheaf of wave offering.
That's the first fruits of the barley in early spring.
7 Sabbaths shall be completed. Count 50 days to the day after the 7th Sabbath, then you shall offer a new grain offering to the Lord.
The new grain were the first cuttings of the wheat that would come in 50 days after the barley. Sadly, today's Israelis do not follow the Scripture's Sunday rule. They instead count from the day after the holy day of unleavened bread,
which is an extra high Sabbath.
Yes, but not a regular Saturday Sabbath. But it is very plain. Leviticus 23, verse 11 says the Feast of First Fruits should always be on a Sunday during the week of unleavened bread. But as we taught when teaching on the spring feast, that day is ignored. So because of that, Pentecost seldom falls on a Sunday, as it should. In Israel this year, it's June 2nd, a Monday, which is Pentecost, but biblically it should be the following Sunday, June 8th.
So why do they not follow Scripture and count from the first fruits always a Sunday?
Well, some say perhaps it's because Christians claim that first fruits is the day of Christ's resurrection, which we do, and they would rather distance themselves from that declaration. And so it became tradition instead to count from unleavened bread. Okay, moving on. More details about Pentecost is in Leviticus 23:17.
You shall bring out of your habitations 2 wave loaves of 2/10 of an ephah.
And that's about a gallon of grain.
They shall be of finely sifted wheat flour. They shall be baked with leaven. They are the first fruits unto the Lord.
Now by this time, which is the end of May or early June, the first cuttings of the wheat, as I said, are coming in. and continues till the end of fall when it is harvested. Now, the typical question is, why now could they eat leavened bread when during Passover it's absolutely no leaven?
Because leaven is always a typology of sin.
Right. And Jesus was without sin, the unleavened bread from heaven, who would take away the sins of the world.
So, leaven during Passover was never allowed per God.
Because it's a picture of who he was. But Pentecost is a future picture of what Jesus would do. The Jews could now eat leavened bread on this Pentecost feast because approximately 1,400 years later, Christ, having taken the leaven into the grave by the time of Pentecost, sins were already paid for. Therefore, as a future New Testament picture, they could now eat the leaven. By the way, prior to Jesus, their debt for sins had to be paid by the blood of an innocent, obviously sinless animal. Today, those who refuse to accept Jesus as the sinless lamb and make him Lord over their life has instead chosen to pay their own sin debt in hell.
You know, it's so sad and so senseless.
It is senseless. And that is why at Pentecost, they were to offer not one, but two loaves of leavened bread to represent that both Jews and Gentiles can be recipients of God's added grace.
Pentecost reinforces his promises to us.
It does. And some Bible teachers say that since Pentecost is officially the birth of the church, that perhaps the rapture might occur on a Pentecost.
Except there's a problem with that.
Right. It has already been fulfilled with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, there are those of us who believe that the rapture is more likely to occur on the next unfulfilled appointment, which historically is the anniversary of the creation of man, Tishri 1, called Rosh Hashanah, meaning head of the year.
Also called Feast of Trumpets.
But we don't know which day or hour because Rosh Hashanah lasts for 2 days. And as well, don't forget about the many time zones in the world.
But we love to look for clues.
We sure do, with more added all the time. But still, the biggest clue for us today will be serious discussions about dividing Jerusalem, where Israel will lose its sovereignty over at least the Temple Mount, probably making it international for all faiths, which means Israel would lose control over God's most holiest place in all the earth, where once stood Solomon's great temple with the Holy of Holies. But Israel will likely go along with it for peace and to build their new temple, as we know will happen because we have already read tomorrow's newspaper in Revelation 11 and Daniel 9 says the Antichrist will sit in it as God.
Called the abomination of desolation.
Also said by Jesus in Matthew 24:15. But back to Pentecost. There is another very important insight from Paul in 1 Corinthians 15:51 that the rapture will not be on a Pentecost, and was very specific when he used the very common expression back then for Rosh Hashanah's Feast of Trumpets. As well, he begins by first saying that he was about to reveal a mystery.
Meaning a fact they hadn't known yet.
Right. Not only will we all be changed in a twinkling of an eye, but he even tells us when it will occur.
At the last trump.
Yes. Not the seventh trump of Revelation. The last trump is such a huge clue, but often missed when you haven't learned much of your Hebrew roots customs, and particularly their common phrases that Paul used in his letters.
But more are being aware of it lately.
That is true. As well, we should also mention that back then, there were actually three trumpet idioms, or common expressions used, that were attached to three major and specific feast days.
There's the first trump.
And as we just said, the last trump, which again is not the seventh trump of Revelation, as some less knowledgeable in their roots will tell you.
And thirdly, the great trump, or shofar in Hebrew.
Yep. So as we said, at the first Pentecost in Exodus 19, God gave Moses and the Israelites his Torah law and his promises if they would remain faithful to him only, amongst the many false gods that would surround them. But they agreed and accepted his betrothal. And then God sounded for all to hear the very first shofar ever recorded in the Bible.
In Exodus 19.
Yes. Therefore, the expression, the first trump, became an idiom for Pentecost. And as we read in Exodus 24, Moses confirms again that the people did answer by saying,
all the words that Yahweh has said, we will do.
It's the same with us. When we became born again, we entered into a betrothal agreement with Jesus. In Jewish law, the betrothment was legally binding, except for adultery. And in God's eyes, if one worshipped any other foreign god, that was spiritual adultery. And today, there are again many gods, as in the worship of money, power, anything or entity, as in Mary, maybe the Pope, the saints. Praying to someone is worship in God's eyes. So the first trump is Pentecost. The last trump is Rosh Hashanah, or Feast of Trumpets, to celebrate all of creation, including man. In fact, Leviticus 23:24 says to have a memorial of the blowing of trumpets. Therefore, they still blow 100 shofar blasts on Rosh Hashanah, and the last trumpet blown makes their new year official, which is why this feast became known as the last trump. Again, Paul knew this when he wrote to the Corinthians that the catching up will occur at the last trump.
You know, it seems easy enough to understand.
It really is.
And then the great trump is blown on Yom Kippur.
It is, according to Leviticus 25, especially important in a Jubilee year, which many say is this year, and also will be blown again when Jesus visibly returns after 7 years in Revelation 19 on a Yom Kippur.
How do we know that this is on a Yom Kippur?
Well, because he told us in Matthew 24:31 that the great trump will be blown.
And Isaiah did too, in Isaiah 27:13.
That's right. So anyhow, to say the resurrection / rapture is on the day of the first trump, on a Pentecost, when we have scripture saying it's the last trump, again, we should side with Paul. So let's recap. After Jesus, after his resurrection, and being seen by many for 40 days, he was about to permanently ascend to heaven when he told his disciples to tarry in Jerusalem for 10 more days, because he would keep his fourth appointment of the seven by sending them the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would teach them all things. Which is why Paul knew the catching away would be at the last trump, because Paul, also a type of Moses, right after his conversion, went to Mount Sinai in Arabia to learn from Jesus, Galatians 1:18. Same place Moses learned from God. I hope you know Jesus. If not, ask him into your heart. And the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till then, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall
Thanks
prosper.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.